Drag Your Show Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy, Ruth Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Brad Gilmore Show.
The Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
How are you feeling today, Peaches?
I feel like since it's a fake Monday morning, your breath might have melted the microphone.
It did, actually. My microphone isn't even picking up anymore.
Like,
that was a good one. It's nice to have you back here in the flesh. What is that? Why'd you flick me off for that?
I can't prove I did it.
Huh?
Can't prove I did that.
If someone flicks you off on radio, does it happen?
Does it?
I don't know. That's a question for people to answer. No, I'm being serious. I like having you back. We have a good show for everybody today. We're talking with Les, or Ellie Dollar, however you say it. Or we're going to have to ask him. However you say it, he's here. He's talking about his new project. He dropped a classic, a gem, Peaches. It's called E36. And what does that mean, Tyler?
It's a model name for a BMW.
It's a model name.
3 series or something.
Yeah. Model name for a BMW. I didn't know that.
Are you a car-y? I put Y on
like
there.
A foodie.
Like a foodie, car-y. A shoey. I call people that like to collect sneaker shoeys. I'm like, I'm
you
not
a hip hoppy?
You're a hip hoppy.
I see.
I put Y's on there and stuff.
I guess so.
You're a car-y.
Car guy? Yeah.
You're a car-y.
You don't want to be called car-y?
No, not really.
Is that
that's weird.
You don't like that? No.
We talked to Les about all kinds of stuff.
You know what's really bad? Most of our conversations that are real-life conversations are on the microphone. This is like, seriously, though, think about it. We have, like, right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is an example. It's ongoing.
It is.
Whoa
there.
Y'all gay.
You're gay!
Oh.
Anything wrong being with is anything wrong with homosexual speeches?
No.
Having said that, I think there is. No, I'm just joking.
And that is a sole view of Brad Gilmore. Although his name is in the title, that is his.
I'm
this
joking.
Is his view, not the show's view.
I'm joking. All right, that was a joke.
Hee hee. Ha ha.
It wasn't funny. I know.
You're never funny.
I'm not at all.
I want to give a shout out to a couple people.
Shout them out.
I want to shout out Donnie Houston. He listened to the thing, you know, and he tweeted something, and I appreciated it.
You can follow him at I'm Donnie Houston.
I want to shout out Rob, too. We interviewed him last Monday, and he said this was the best interview he's ever done.
Ever. Ever
like
done.
Ever. You know, so this, you know, we appreciate everybody that tunes in and that listens and that's paying attention. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we might not say thank you enough, but we really, really do appreciate it.
Every single one of y'all listeners.
If y'all know where Lil Flip at, though, tell him we're looking for him.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Real talk.
We tried on Twitter. He not there.
Like, he doesn't exist on Twitter.
He doesn't exist on Twitter. Don't give us his Twitter name because we tweeted him already. He ain't there.
Yeah, he doesn't exist in real life. I think
that's neither here nor there, but we just needed to let y'all know that we're looking for Lil Flip.
And we do really appreciate everybody who listens, everyone who comments. And if you have any comments about the show.
And even if you don't say anything, thank you for listening anyway. You ain't got to tell us. That's cool. I don't care if you tell us as long as you listen.
Make sure y'all go to iTunes, though. Subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star rating. You know, give us a little review. Tell a friend. If you don't like it, tell us why you don't like it.
I don't care why you don't like it.
I do. I care why they don't like it. It might be somebody who they don't like.
What if he fell out the chair while you were trying to do
that? That's so funny. I don't mean that, DJ Motai. You know I don't. Couldn't do it without you.
He
you know
talked
why?
So much shit about you when we went in the
That's
hallway.
That's such a lie. She says that every time we're alone. You like to think that I just dog on Tyler. Like, I can't wait to get out of the room. Oh, let me tell you how.
Mm-hmm.
This is my pro boy. Yo, let me tell you how, like, I don't like you. You know, Tyler, like, right left.
But this is about Les.
I know this is about Les.
What are you
saying? About Les.
Why are you looking at me like that? Are you going to blink?
You're staring at me.
We had a real life staring game going on.
On air.
On air.
Because y'all can't see that. But we're about to get into DJ Motai's. You want to say it, Peaches?
Monday morning music mix.
Yes, on the Brad Gilmore.
That's 4 M's. You can just hashtag M. four times.
You hashtag 4M. What about that?
4M.
Hashtag 4M. Hashtag BG Show.
No,
hashtag
don't. Fake don't mornings. Not like the number four. Hashtag 4Ms literally. Do M. Pound sign.
Like two M&Ms.
Shout out to DJ Auditory for bringing that up. He tweeted that first.
Oh, the MMMM?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, shout out to Tori then, Auditory, for that. Appreciate that, Auditory.
Auditeezy.
No,
shout out to Tori, though. He chopped and screwed the Yeezus album and made the LA Times.
I saw that.
Real life shout out to.
And now there's like I don't know what I was about to say, but I appreciate everyone listening.
What? Where are you right now? Like, what are you saying?
I was too whatever thinking about the Motown Morning
Music Mix. Whatever you do, do not cut that out.
I won't.
Do
I
not
won't.
Cut I'm that out.
That. So we're going to get into this mix now. Hashtag BG Show. DJ Motai, take us out. Player.
Early in the morning, still ain't been asleep. Caught up in this life, I ain't check the time in weeks. Smoking back to back, baby, I deserve it. Take a look back, everything was worth it. Had a bunch of days when I thought I wouldn't make it. Saw the opportunity, I knew I had to take it. It's a lonely road, but I had to take that ride. It's a lonely road, but you gotta make that drive. And I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. Them BBSs for the chrome bolts and the gun metal finish. Her hair blow in the wind, she never felt this free. Don't know a nigga real name, but she in love with me. Ain't that crazy how the shit go? Got some fame cause of this flow. And the niggas I came up with act like they don't know me no more. Getting stoned numb to that pain. No, this life it won't be the same, but they say it's part of the game. Energy is what I remain. Love, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. I push it to the limit and we winning, yeah we winning. Look, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. Push it to the limit and we win it, yeah we win it. Look, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. Push it to the limit and we win it, yeah we win it. Look, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. Push it to the limit and we win it, love, we love. Hit it up and I'm sitting low. It's the shit that I hustle for. Type of shit that I rap about when your favorite rapper be acting out. For that light green, I'm a slight fiend. If the road dark, hit your high beams. Got to see clear through this fuck shit. Got to stay aware, can't trust shit. These hoes lie, these niggas fake. They show love, but they feel hate. Got to keep it moving, don't dive shit. Never getting caught up in clown shit. Them wheels spinning, we keep winning. We speeding quick to that end. We get the dub and we gassing up and we back at it again. I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. To the limit and we win it, yeah we win it. Look, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. I push it to the limit and we win it, yeah we win it. Look, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. I push it to the limit and we win it, yeah we win it. Look, I'm speeding, I'm racing to the finish. I push it to the limit and we win it, yeah we win it.
My diamonds never be fake. I spit that shit, if you ballin', then you could probably relate. Smelling like Issey Miyake, Versace over my eyes. And when you see me in public, you see I'm telling no lies. I rap about it, I drive it, I rap about her, I fuck. These niggas see that I'm stuntin', I keep that effin' tough. You think you playin' me, baby, you only playin' yourself. Got plenty bitches, lil' mama, I put that ass on the shelf. I keep a hand on the ground, she keep an eye on my chain. See, I be pimpin', lil' nigga, no, we ain't livin' the same. I'm really gettin' these digits, I'm really gettin' this chain. She really up in my Chevy, she really givin' me brain. I take a sip of my cup, you know I'm sittin' on bucks.
trunk on them laws. No, I ain't giving a fuck. Sit on them swangers and bows. Ain't about to play with you, ho. I keep the player, my nigga. Got your bitch and Papa Doe's. It's like that.
My paper's taking shrimp.
Your paper, bitch, you must be out your mind. I'm about mine, boss hogging for them dollar signs. Worrying about the next man, really, I ain't got the time. What the hell is you doing with your life if you ain't on your grind? They trying to knock me, anything to throw me off my route. I know you watching me, trying to figure out what I'm gonna do. I'm too concerned with getting money to be watching you. I'm way too player for that petty shit, I keep it true. It's too much money to be made in the city streets. I'm drinking something that's gonna put your ass straight to sleep. I keep a Bible and a pistol underneath my seat. Death around the corner, but he ain't gonna give me his sweet. I feel the heat, so I cool off with a double cup. The same people hating, asking me to pull them up. Floating like a rubber duck, all about them bucks. Ain't no crying over sluts, we pass them around like blunts.
I like codeine in my soda. The smell of Kushoda. And all these women I'm knowing, I'm blowing big in Cali. Got a spot in them hills. And every car that I drive, riding on fly wheels. Cadillacs with the grills. Texas niggas is trill. Got me rich than the bitch before I signed them deals. Now I'm coming down candy. Putting in work. Got a solid gold chain on my $2,000 shirt. The game been good. No more living in the hood. The game been good. No more living in the hood. We flossing, buying $1 million houses, eating good steak and shrimp, looking like bosses. And I still hold it down for my city. We got the baddest bitches, Texas, thick, be pretty. Sell that Bobby, sell that Whitney. I'm grinding nonstop, so I'm eating good. And the cars I got ain't got a top, man. I'm
right now, you don't even know it. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know it. Got $1 million clip, right. Nigga, you don't even know it.
I'm a hood nigga, not a star, ho. You don't even know it. I sold a song by the car, ho. You don't even know it. Got bad bitches by the car load. They break bread and keep guards roll. Street nigga, fly shit. I'm the shit, don't lie, bitch. Your girl bought me these fly kicks. You don't even know it. My shades on cause I'm hot, bitch. You don't even know it. Down low where your girl go. 7-4 till the world blow. They see we G's make DVDs. My young niggas rep VCD. Got racks on me, ain't know it though. Shake that ass, I might throw it, ho. On my dick cause she saw them pics of me and Rocky on the bus blowing dro. They steady asking where the hoes at. You don't even know it. All the hoes where my shows at. You don't even know it. Shout out to London, Angeliska, Mariah too. Them like my sisters. We all famous, put it on your pictures. If it ain't about money, we ain't fucking with you. These other rappers, they fucking suck. You don't even know it. Me and Cannon, who you know can fuck with us? You don't even know it.
second chance, black diamond. Took a break, now I'm back grinding. Deep thoughts in that lack pining. Right reasons, bad timing. Smart nigga, dumb stack. She fuck cash in Young Mac. She run game, we run train. Her man lame, she come back. I cuss a lot, bitch, so what? Virgin flow, I give no fucks. Be a real bitch, I bet it work. Can't fuck me, fuck Freddy first.
I'm gone. It's down on them shoes, you don't even know. It's down on that lean, you don't even know. Just have me no cut, you don't even know. I came up from bum, you don't even know. My niggas alright with me, you don't even know. Got killers with me right now, you don't even know. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know. Got $1 million clip, nigga, you don't even know.
Hello and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
With Peaches.
Once again. Peaches is back in the studio. She's back from Dallas.
You still can't talk?
You know, it's a recurring theme with me. I don't even know why I have a radio thing anymore. I can't speak. It's weird. How you doing?
You don't shut up. Ever.
Yeah, I can't speak, but I don't shut up. It's like what is that called? Catch 22? Is that what that would be?
It's a little annoying.
Is it annoyance an equivalent to a catch 22?
Nah.
So what's a catch 22?
I mean, I just don't want it to be a catch 22.
You still want me to be
agree.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
We're back here for another episode of the On Demand Show. It's been going well. DJ Mota, how you feeling today?
It's pretty hot. I was moving furniture earlier today, so.
You know, we had this whole like sound check beforehand, and I was like, make sure you talk directly into the mic, and you still like to drop it below your jaw. I don't know what that is. Do you like balls on your chin? Is that what it is?
Dude.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Maybe he don't like things directly in front of his mouth either.
Hey,
unlike yourself, clearly.
Or yeah, you know, I'm good with it when it's right in front of me. Then I can find it.
That's sad.
Okay, I have to call a super pause on that. I just didn't want you to think that you got a joke in on me.
I did
so
get
I took
a joke,
your joke
in on then.
And I spun it around.
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Can we go now? Are we good? All right. We're here.
I slapped the shit out of Brad one day in real life because he's so damn sassy.
He's
like
sassy
a little 5-year-old black girl.
Everybody love everybody.
He's like a little 5-year-old black girl. Okay, there's so much damn
friends.
Attitude.
I don't have that. I'm the one with the attitude.
I'm cranky.
You're like a 6.5-year-old black girl.
No, I'm like a 7-year-old cranky
hitting.
Ass black woman just
you're
mad at
hitting.
The world because it's hot outside.
Yeah. Tyler Perry based movies on you. He could do a whole series.
On me?
On just you.
Fuck Tyler Perry.
Picking on Peaches.
Why would Tyler Perry do movies about me?
A Tyler Perry film.
You said something about an old black woman. That seems to be his thing.
But he's in drag, so are you trying to tell me that I'm really a man? What are you trying to say?
Okay, you could play Tyler Perry in his life story.
Whoa. What? So I look like a man?
No, okay, I'm trying to make this sound better.
Just digging yourself deeper, Brad.
Yeah, it's not working. Neither one is correct. We have a good show for you today. We have Les, or is it Ellie Dollar? Is it Lester? What should I call you? What is the actual pronunciation? Say it for this show. What is it?
All three of those work. My name is Lester.
Your name's Lester, but is it Ellie Lester. Dollar? What's the stage name?
Les.
It's Les. Yeah. It's not Ellie Dollar.
Nah, it's just something we say.
Like, oh, that's kind of like your nickname.
Like a
Wayne has a Wheezy.
Yeah, Jay-Z, Jigga Hove.
Jigga Hove, so you're Ellie Dollar. Do you have any other nicknames?
Not that y'all can call me.
Not that we can call you?
No.
Why not? What are they?
Don't worry about that.
Uh-oh.
Why I can't know?
Because
what?
Now, the only other nickname that other people call me is Trey.
Because you're a third?
Yeah, I'm the third. So.
Oh, yeah. I think we've actually touched on that before.
That's it. No.
Let's try to... I'm sorry. It's just a weird energy today. It's strange. Peaches is going to slap me before the end of the day. And we have another one to do after this. Imagine that.
It's hostility.
It's hostile.
It's not hostile.
It's
I be having real life stuff going on, and Brad always be wanting to play at very inopportune times.
But that's the beauty
no,
of our
Brad,
relationship.
No, Brad, it's not the beauty of shit.
Is I like to make fun of everything and make light of it. And then you
I'm
make
gonna make
a
light on your ass.
My ass is already
that's
pretty
like,
light.
That's one of them old black mama here. Terms where they take something in the sentence and then just make it violent. It makes no sense, but you scared of it.
I know. I have a pretty light ass. My ass is kind of white.
It'd be clear.
Brad told me that he had a big butt for a white boy.
Wow. When did I say that? I mean, I'm not saying I didn't say that, but when
you
did I say,
say that?
When
we
did I say
we
that?
We were walking somewhere. I don't know.
Is it true?
I've never looked at your butt.
How you been, Les? It's been a while since we've talked.
I've been chilling, working. That's all I do is work.
Chilling, working?
Yeah.
Can you hold the mic like right in front? There we go.
Like that.
Okay. You don't have to traumatize it so much. Let's actually get into the show now. Last time Les was on the show, it was right before the car show, Peaches. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We had Les Propane and Doe Beezy all on the show at the same time.
We did.
Do you remember? That was a fun episode.
Dig.
Do you remember that, Les?
Kind
of. Kind of? Were you like under the influence or something?
Yep.
You're pretty high?
Yep.
Are you a big marijuana guy?
Just like anybody else that smokes weed, pretty much.
What does that mean? Because I know some guys who take it to the next level. They do the cross joints. I've seen that recently.
I mean, I guess I'm worse than everybody else, but it's just, you know. I mean, I got homies that smoke a lot more than me, so.
Okay, okay.
Not the worst.
You know, I feel like some people, when it comes to talking about weed, some people just go overboard.
Yeah,
it's like, you smoke, then you smoke. Like,
I think people
really
like kind of throw it on me a little bit more
than
what it really is. I mean, I smoke just as much as the next man.
Yeah.
And I mention it just as much as any other rapper does, but I guess it just got thrown on. The jacket got thrown on me.
So, do people classify you as like a stoner rapper?
Hell yeah.
Why is that?
I have no clue. Because like, even if you go through my catalog, it's only like, out of 200 and something songs, maybe like 5 songs about weed.
I guess you're just really chill. Is that what it is?
Harry,
like you have a kind
Tubman.
Of a chill, laid back kind of vibe about it.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Okay.
I have no clue. I think it just happened to be like a new thing with a bunch of the new guys that came out. Like I even heard somebody say like Schoolboy Q was a weed rapper when he first came out, and I don't even.
Do you think it's kind of, I mean, I wouldn't even put you in like a tripadelic kind of thing either. I don't know where they get that from.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that out.
That's
I know
music. That's, you know how people like to categorize.
Yeah. I know when Killa was on here, he said that, like, weed rappers, right? Is that what you call them? He said he's just doing it. I think they're just rapping about it because they think it's cool. It's like a trendy thing to do right now.
I mean, it's
now,
a culture,
ever
though.
Ever since
no,
Wiz
I mean,
came out.
Don't
that's
get,
what he said.
Don't
because
get
that's what people
though,
like.
When those dudes came out, like, there was a lot of people who came out trying to just all of a sudden I get high. That's all you hear in their songs, and they were trying to do like that whole thing. But
does that get played out to you though a little bit?
Everything gets played out if it ain't real.
But I'm saying like, is there so much of like the marijuana music, quote unquote, going around that it's just like, okay, we get it. You like to get
honestly,
high.
Honestly, I don't really identify none of the people that they call weed rappers as weed rappers.
Well, I think when people think weed rappers, I think like maybe like Wiz Khalifa.
I don't even think that he is like.
It's a culture, and he tends to it. That's how I see it. Like that's his target audience. That's what his audience is, and just because that's how they perceive it doesn't mean that's how he is.
Yeah,
and you know what I'm saying, just like
well, not anymore. Not anymore.
Not anymore. He's Snoop Lion, but you know the you know
OG Snoop.
Yeah, like but I mean even like they call Currency a weed rapper. I mean, but thing is. I grew up in the era of Lil Wayne, and Lil Wayne mentioned weed more than anybody, and nobody
that's
ever
true.
Called him a weed rapper.
I've never heard Lil Wayne called a weed rapper.
That is very true.
And that's all he talked
Currency,
about.
Currency, though, to me, a lot of people like put him in that category of weed rap. I mean, even like when he was here for 419, whenever he played at Warehouse,
yeah.
Even the whole flyer was like him coming out of weed bushes.
Yeah, I mean.
It was like very synonymous.
But again,
with
that's
him.
A culture, and that's his target audience.
Yeah.
So you can't blame him for tending to it. If that's what
I'm not saying, that's
like
a bad thing,
right? But I mean, I think people got to understand that it's the consumer that puts that idea on the rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like his target audience are weed heads. That doesn't mean he necessarily is one. His audience is.
That's just the people that show up,
right?
You know what
yeah.
I mean? You can't really help that. Like they show up.
Like you go to a Currency concert knowing that you're gonna be high and
yeah.
that the crowd is gonna be stuck. That's how it was on 420, which is why it's you know it was brilliant to book Currency on 420.
Honestly, like even like just not to change it, but one of my favorite rappers is Devin the Dude.
Devin,
growing up in that era, I never heard nobody say Devin the Dude was a weed rapper.
You think it's something that just like I think that it might
it's
have been just
an identifier. It's a
it might have been a box.
It's a category.
People
it's,
put
it's
in.
An identifier.
It's like a new category that all of a sudden popped up out the blue.
Then like okay, all these guys are boom.
Yeah,
and some guys run with it though a little bit. I think
if you're making money off of it, why
Devin
not?
Runs with it a little. I'm not saying in a bad way. I think he runs with it a little more than maybe we would notice even.
Yeah,
because he always does the 420
shows. He's so OG though, like.
You can't say anything.
It was just a different era with him. Like, he was the only one, honestly. Like, I couldn't even think of anybody else when he was doing his thing, like, when he was really cracking, like, that was in his lane.
Are you originally from Houston?
No, I'm from New Orleans.
You're from New Orleans. Yeah, okay, yeah. When'd you come over to Houston?
Like, 11 years ago.
Was that around,
What part of New Orleans?
Ninth Ward.
Oh, so that's like New Orleans. That's like
No, I'm from New Orleans. Yeah. Like,
what made you come to Houston?
School.
School, you just wanted
to... Well, I had other opportunities to go other places for school, but, like, I knew Houston because I would always be here. My family, like, is all from, a lot of family from here, like Wheeler. Well, not from here, but they all moved out here. So it was just more comfortable. You know, I didn't want to go somewhere where, like, I could have went to Texas Tech. I wouldn't have did that shit. I could have went to UT. I wasn't really feeling Austin at the time, so I just wasn't with it.
At the time, do you wish you would have gone
yeah,
there?
Yeah, actually, like now, like looking back, I probably would have went there. But I mean, I went to
U
of H.
Like scholarships? Is that what it was?
Yeah, scholarship.
For what? For what were you getting scholarship?
Academic.
Academic? Oh.
Not that. I'm kind of smart.
What did he tweet the other day? Something about the honor roll. What did you say?
Oh, a lot of people, you just said they wasn't on the honor roll. I was one of those kids in school, like, I got expelled from my school. Like, I was bad as fuck, but I made straight A's, so...
Damn.
Huh. And you're still able, so you got expelled from your high school?
I got expelled from my high school, yeah.
And then I guess you had to go to another, high school, and then you got the scholarships. And
I didn't lose anything, though. Schools wasn't mad about it, and it was like a messed up situation, but.
What happened?
I don't want to get into that, but it was just, you know, it was just some stuff.
You had to check somebody, huh?
Yeah, it was just, you know, being young. Just making wrong decisions.
Being in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But the thing was, like, at the end of the day, I was in a wrong situation, but I wasn't completely wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't lose a lot of the opportunities that I had.
Oh.
So.
Now I'm curious on what actually happened.
Yeah.
Maybe another time. Maybe if he gets a little more comfortable.
I try to keep some stuff, you know.
You want to keep it in the vault?
Yeah.
You want to keep it in the vault. So, okay, you made the decision to come to Houston, right? Was it a big, like, kind of culture change for you? Was it a shock?
No, like I said, I have family. I used to spend every summer out here.
Okay, so you were familiar
this
with
was
the
like,
area.
Yeah, like, in the area I stayed in, my family's house, like, has, like, three houses right in between U of H and TSU on Wheeler, like, right there. So that's where I would be every summer.
Okay, so, like, Third Ward area.
Yeah, just running
chilling.
Around there. Yeah.
Just, huh. Did you graduate from University of Houston?
Hell no.
did you drop out quick or what?
Nah, I was there for 3.5 years, man.
That means you got a semester left.
Pretty much. Like I still want to finish. Like that's still.
Well, why'd you drop out?
We should go back together.
Yeah, for real though.
How long did you go?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. What is it about like the
it's
one
just
semester?
Like, honestly, what happened is real life happened. Like
real life
exactly,
happens.
And it got to the point where either I need to. Have these hours or I need to pay my bills.
Exactly.
And the bills were more important. And then I ended up just falling into doing other stuff. So it's just life.
I've heard that a lot. I heard a lot of people, if you take one semester off,
pretty
it's
much
so hard to go back.
Well, because like you said, it's like, you know, you going to school is a full-time job within itself. You're taking 12 to 15 hours and then you're expected to study that same amount. That's 30 hours in a week on top of working, you know, 20, 30 hours at a job. That's now 60 hours in a week. Where do you have time for anything else?
There isn't anything else.
And they're like, so now if you're working 40 hours a week, you got 30 hours of school, that's now 70 hours in a week. But if your bills are still due, like, it's like, okay, you can study, but you need to do overtime. So now what?
Yeah. Oh, and so it just piles up.
And it gets hard. Like, you know, he said he was on a scholarship for other people. You know, like myself, I paid out of pocket for school. So it
you
was.
Get any student loans or anything?
No, nothing. I got, like, the loans that I have to pay back to the government. But that's still money. Like, that's not free money. That's still money you got to pay back even while you're in school. You know,
with
to
interest,
keep your interest rate up.
And just
to
add to that, after my second year, I still have my scholarship. You know, like, yeah, when it started becoming the out-of-pocket thing, it just kind of got real, you know.
Because school, especially University of Houston, it's not cheap at all.
No.
And it's
my
gone up since
year.
Then.
That's when it got real. Like, when I actually seen, like, I never paid attention before. Like, I had the platinum meal plan and everything. Like, I
oh,
was,
you was
I
fancy.
Was, no,
I
was
he had
living.
A platinum meal plan.
Like, it's like I had 12 swipes
a
week.
You can ask anybody who was cool with me when we went to U of H, like, I would feed everybody. Like, nice. We would go to, like, everybody's shit would run out towards the end of the semester, so we would just all go eat, like, to the Chick-fil-A's and everything that you could use your meal plan.
Oh,
at.
Man. That platinum meal plan, he was tricking us. Yeah. You were buying some women some meals, aren't
for
you?
Real. Yeah. Man, we used to say, for real though, because that's real. At the end of the month, like at the end, we used to sit in the caf all day so we wouldn't have to use the swipe to re-enter. Like, yeah, like we used to study. We used to go in the caf in the morning and study in there and be in there all day.
See, you probably came after me when y'all only.
Yeah, I came in 2007.
When I was there. No, yeah, I was there still. That's when it changed. But
it changed after that.
What was it? The Cougar Cash?
Yeah, I had Cougar Cash.
I had straight Cougar Cash on mine. But even before, when they had the little stripe things, like when we first got there, they just had an amount of money, and like you had to just make it last the whole time. You know, you.
What did the platinum meal plan buy you? How many? How much money do you remember?
I don't honestly. I just know it didn't run out.
Did you stay on campus?
Yeah, I stayed in the towers at first.
Oh, Moody
North
Tower.
North or South?
Huh?
North
I stayed
south.
In both of them. I was.
I was in the south.
But like after my second year, I got lucky, and I got one of the in the North Tower, one of them solo joints at the
17th floor.
Man, I was living.
See, I was in the South Tower, and I used to work the desk.
Oh, okay. Oh, you one of those people, man. I
was ratchet.
The people who work at those desks are always so difficult to deal with.
Yeah,
I used to be asleep.
That's why I lost my scholarship.
Like, no, I was the one who used to go to the club. My desk shift would start at 2, so I would leave the club at 1:30, go to my room, put my sweats on, and work a 2 to 6 or a 2 to 8 shift at the desk.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I lost my scholarship. Like, the people that work at the front desk. A dude called me Lester that worked at the front desk, and I slapped the shit out of him and, like, drug him from
I was the nice one.
And I had to talk to the dean and like all
did you
kind
not
of
like
happened.
Your name back then?
No, it was just disrespectful how he did it. I've never had a problem with
he was
my
like,
name.
Okay, Lester or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
It's one of those. If you know, that's people do that. Like if you know, call me Peachy.
The thing is, he knew
me.
It was a dude that knew me as Les, and like
he called you Lester to be offensive.
I had
so he did
some chicks with me basically, and you know I had to sign them in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like just talking to him, and he said something, Lester, and I was like, "Yo, fool, I've never introduced myself to you like that. Just call me Les." Like he said something again, Lester. And I was like, "Yo, fool, if you do that again, I'm gonna slap the shit out of you, my nigga." Like, and you know, he probably thought I was just talking shit because I said it just like that, like you know.
Anybody from New Orleans, I won't try ever.
And then he said it again, and I'm not even I'm really not violent, but it's just like I warned you, like you know what I'm saying, like I asked you, I warned you, and you did it again, so you're being disrespectful now, so I'm gonna disrespect you.
Yeah. So you slapped him, and
then he got on the phone and called the police.
Oh,
like, he didn't
arrested?
Even try to fight back.
You get arrested for it?
Nah, but they came to like my dorm room and
detained you or
like,
something.
Nah, they gave me
UHPD be tripping.
Nah, they gave me a ticket because no, like actually they knew me already. They were cool. Like it was you know the campus police. They were just cool and. They were just like, man, you know, we got to do this because they said this and whatever. And we went to court and they got dismissed. So it wasn't no big deal.
Okay. You know, they have like this new rule at U of H. They're starting next semester where if you don't live within 20 miles of the campus and you're a freshman, you have to live on campus.
Yeah, they're trying to make it that environment.
Because, see, when I was there, and I'm sure like where Cougar Village is, those were basketball courts in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
When I was there. And like a lot of the stuff that's there now, like I went on campus the other day, and I don't even know how to get around anymore.
Is that where like the Cougar Village is, like the camp, the law,
the freshman doors?
Yeah,
I was there, those were basketball courts. We used to go play basketball over there.
When I got there, the rec center just got built. So,
oh wow,
that tells you how long.
Yeah,
it's been a minute for you then.
Yeah, so.
But it's a nice rec center.
Okay, so you lose your scholarship. You go to school for 3.5 years. All right.
Yeah.
Then life kind of just gets real on you. Is this when you say, okay, I'm gonna take music seriously? Were you in music beforehand?
Nah, I mean I messed around, but that's when I took work seriously. Like, I got a job. I was working at first. Like, I worked for AT&T.
Oh, what'd you do for that? Like in the store, like selling phones, or on the business side?
In the call center.
Oh, okay.
And after that, I went and worked for.
Wait! Hold on! Keep back on the call center. What part? Where would you work? Where were you? Where was your like
technical support?
Technical. Yeah, I know, but like where? Where were you stationed? Where was your location?
It was in. It was like off 610 and
South.
It was over there, close to like Meyerland.
Yeah.
Like that area?
My mother, I just, the only reason I say that is because my mother was in charge of the call center for a while.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Marsha Gilmore.
Do you remember Marsha Gilmore? Okay. But see, I didn't work there long because after that, I got an offer from Comcast and I went and worked over there. They paid more. So.
Okay. So when did you start taking the music seriously?
I started messing around when I was working at Comcast. I went, like, that's when I did my little first tape called Crack Music.
Okay.
And I bought some, like, burners and shit. Like, my partners. They were club promoters, and I don't know, I just bought some burners and I made a CD in my closet. I got the little setup or whatever that everybody has. And
yeah.
Just recorded a tape and pressed them up myself and just handed them out for free. And it didn't really do shit. I mean, it's not just behind us. Like, it didn't really do anything.
Was it terrible? Do you ever go back and listen to that?
No. The tape was good. Like, people still, like, tweet about it all the time because we put it out after. Like,
okay.
I started, like, I didn't know about the internet stuff, but after, like, I kind of got going with Rogers, we actually re-released it, like, but after that, I went and, I got another job in Dallas for the government, Social Security.
Uh-oh.
And mind you, like, everybody be wondering just randomly, like, if I had all these tattoos and shit when I was doing that, like, I did, but anyways, like.
you wore a lot of long sleeve shirts, huh?
They would never trip, really. Like, casual, they never say anything.
I think people are becoming more accepting.
Yeah, it's different now. Like, it really is more, especially if you have a resume. I never really had a weak resume. Like, I did a lot of internships and shit, so.
And then when they say, you know, straight A student, had like the whole thing.
But then, like, I actually quit Comcast and went to Dallas to work for the government, and I was there for, like, 2 weeks, and it was, like, a great job. It was, like, $80,000 a year. Like, to this day, I kind of, like, yeah, like, struggling with this rap shit, like, you still be like, fuck. But, you know, it just, I was there for, like, 2 weeks, and I was just looking at how comfortable, like, I'll never forget this moment in my life. Like, I was just looking at people, and they were just so comfortable with it, and I knew this wasn't what I wanted, and I just up and left. Like, got in my car, like, packed my shit up, still had my lease at Canal Place around the corner, and came back, and didn't have a job, didn't have nothing, just had a lease on my apartment, and just, like, some supportive homeboys, and I was just like, man, I gotta figure this shit out. And the next day I went to Sucker Punch, a store that used to be in the Montrose area, kind of like a SF2 premium goods type store.
So purposey.
And I'm walking in, and who's walking in front of me is Rogers, and he had already got the CD that I was handing out, but he didn't know how to get in contact with me. And then when he realized it was me, he was like, yo, I'm sending you some beats tonight. And the beats that he sent me that night ended up being two songs on Settle for Less Volume 1. And
did you know who Mr. Rogers was at the time?
Yeah, I was a fan, like, of his beats. Like, I was a fan of the stuff he did for Trey and Slim and, like, all those type of the tracks that he did. I knew he was a good DJ, but, like I said, my friends were promoters. They used to do that Fab Five Club Next shit.
Yeah.
But I remember that.
Yeah, I used to be there all the time. That was, like, I was my roommates, my partners, all that. But, I was a fan of his sound. And, you know, we met up and shit, the rest is history, really.
So y'all started work, like, when he sent you those first couple beats over, when he sent them to you, were you like, oh my God.
Yeah, he got him back the next morning.
Oh yeah?
Like, that's what tripped him out about it. Like, I wish he could have came. He just passed by. But, like, if you listen to Settle for Less 1, like, it's a song called Ride on there. And I forgot what the other ones was, but all those songs are on there. Like, that was songs that we put out.
And it was just kind of like an instant kind of chemistry with you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Man. What do you think about that, PJ? He just happens to meet somebody.
I mean, that's, you know, pretty much how it works. He did what he felt he needed to do. Because if he wouldn't have left... Dang.
So did you just break your phone case?
No, I just broke the top of my drinking
tumbler. Oh. So how did Rogers, when y'all started working really heavy together, did he put you on a lot of game? Is that kind of how you started getting popping, or was it more?
Nah, for sure. Like, I didn't know. Like we were working on the Settle for Less 1. We used to work at the Hog Pen, Boss Hog Studios.
Yeah, over there on the North.
And, we were just working. I would be at work. Like, I got another job. I had a cool-ass little job when I was working at home.
Yeah.
And I would get off and go meet him at the studio when he would get done DJing, like, 2, 3 in the morning. And we would just be in there till 9, and I'd go straight to work after that. Like, I was busting my ass. But, you know, we put together Settle for Less 1. And I had got, like, frustrated. Because, you know, he was teaching me stuff, but I had got mad. Because, like, we finished Settle for Less 1 in, like, I want to say, like, September.
Yeah.
But it didn't, September 09, but it didn't come out till December 09. And I just woke up one morning and seen it on Twitter. Like, I'm looking for, like, where the CDs? We got to get them pressed up. You know, like, I'm not really hip to the whole Twitter.
The
like, I had, like, 30 fucking followers. Like, it was my homeboy. I used to terrorize people on Twitter. I used to just make fun of my friends all day, like, and take pictures and shit. But, yeah, then, like, all of a sudden, the followers started coming, and it was just weird.
So he kind of was like, hey, the internet, this is
I mean, he showed me, like, the first day he put out the tape, it got, like, 2,500 downloads, and he was even hype about it, because he was like, that's the most you've ever seen a tape do, really. And I was like, That's crazy, because I remember how long it used to take me just to get 2,000 CDs handed up.
Right, yeah.
And how much it would cost me. And that shit didn't cost a dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, oh, man. Shit.
And man, so that must have just blown your mind.
Yeah,
to think I can get it to 2,500 people without spending a dollar.
And then, yeah, that's what made me, like, even up to this day, everybody talks about how hard I work and all the stuff I do. But seeing that happen and then the blogs and then it just getting naturally picked up the way it did,
yeah,
and everybody just coming to it and fans and people just supporting, like people you don't know, like it was crazy. I liked it, so I was like, shit, I'm gonna put something else out.
And so that's when you just
I was just like, fuck
is
it.
Is that why? Because a lot of people who when you bring up Less or when you're talked about a lot of the times, everyone's like, man, guy hustles hard because he has like 70 million mixtapes out there.
Yeah, it's only 12.
There's 12.
That's still a lot.
But it's 12 in 2 years. So
12 in 2 years.
That's still a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you work harder than most.
But
people.
I mean, honestly, like if you look at the success of a lot of people who's out right now, from Wiz to Spitta to Chip to like a lot of cats before y'all heard Kush and Orange Juice or whatever Spitta doing right now, they had probably just as much or more than what I have out right
That's
now.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I guess it's just a whole different hustle now.
It's just, I think Houston hasn't seen that done before.
Yeah, Houston's a little, know, like, hey, we move slow in the South, period.
Because, I mean, I even hear people complain about it out here. But then when I go to New York or to these meetings or to the industry stuff and to these label meetings that we've been going to, they commend it and they love it.
Well, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, like you said, it's a lot of people that feel that you put out too much free music.
I don't care. Why does it hurt them? If you're not a fan, you're not a fan.
That's true.
If you're a fan, they love it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's... And the thing is, like, shit, the results is in what you see. It's not like it's getting whacker.
Well, yeah. Right, but then I guess it will come down to how do you... Like, would you be able to sell an album with so much free music? Would your fans buy an album?
So we'll find out. But the thing about it is, like, it's obvious that the formula works right now. You know what I mean?
I'm not knocking it.
I understand. I'm looking at it from those people's perspective. It's obvious that the formula does work. Really, if you out here trying to figure out how you're going to sell some CDs, then you're not in the right game. Because the music business right now is not about selling music.
It's not.
It's about everything that else.
It's about everything else. Like every meeting and label meeting and stuff that we've been doing right now and like sitting down with these people, like the conversation isn't how many CDs we're going to sell. Like there's 360 deals, and the 360 deals that everybody's getting signed to has nothing to do really with about how many CDs you're going to sell.
How sellable are you as a person?
Exactly.
Because 360 means it's an all-encompassing deal. Tell people who don't know what a 360 deal is, what it is.
They pretty much get everything. But at the same time, like there's a lot of cats who run around, I'll never sign a 360 deal, I'll never do this. At the same time, they give you looks that you wouldn't have gotten before. You know, the label can get you on TV. The label can get you... In a lot of places, like, look, perfect example, like, one of my favorite movements is the Odd Future movement.
Yeah.
They are,
you know,
awesome.
What I'm saying? Those kids are probably some of the most talented kids in the game, regardless of what people think about that, you know, just the stereotype that they got from the controversy. But,
a lot of people say they're just a bunch of, like especially with Tyler, he gets it the worst, I think.
Man.
And I'm not a huge
fan.
He's
doing what he wants to do.
You can't
knock, like he said,
I think a lot of people just... You know how we were talking earlier about people who get in boxes of weed rappers?
Yeah.
I think people box him as like a shock kind of guy.
He
has shock value.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, like...
But he doesn't react as much as people think that he does. Like, the brilliant thing about him is that whole camp is not a very reacting camp. Like, when they react, it's after you've expected it. And then the way that they react is not orthodox. Like, it's like they make fun of you for reacting to them not reacting.
Yeah.
And I mean, you like he said, you can't really knock it because
you know a lot of people like put him in like I didn't mean to cut you off. They call you, you know, there's the class clown, right, who just does stuff to get attention, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the school comedian, right, who like is kind of who like what they are. You know, you're saying they're laughing, they're making fun of you. You know, for
I don't
reacting.
Think him the school comedian or the class clown.
I would put
really. I look at him like a nerd. That
yeah,
knows
I take
doing.
Him as a school like, nerd that like, everybody yeah. knew that clown yeah. that now he's out and now you wish. You wouldn't have done it while he was in school.
You wish you would have been friends with him.
Right. I don't
know. No, for sure, though. Like, that makes all the sense in the world. Like, and then you got to look at the genius of it. Okay, the kid makes his own beats. They do their own artwork. They design their own clothing.
And they do it how they want to.
And it's
It don't
it's
make
selling.
No sense,
like,
but they do it exactly how they want to.
Yeah, and it's genuine. Like, that's what I love about it. Like, that's missing in the game, period, right now. Like, just stuff being genuine. Their movement is genuine. Their music is genuine. The internet, like, they're doing the thing with Mac. Like, that's some of my favorite music right now. Like, Mellow Hype. And that whole camp is real dope. Like, it's not just Tyler, you know, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They can actually rap. That's what's crazy.
People praise Earl's sweatshirt. Like, he's...
He can rap.
But it's just different. Like, if you don't understand it, like, you know... Like, I relate to those kids. When I was 21, I was that kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it was like, I understand it. Some people don't understand that. Like, I grew up... I was skating since I was 11 years old. Like, this is, like, the whole... Even the thing, how I carry myself is not made up. It's really who I am. Yeah, I was in the hood, but I did me. Because I grew up in New Orleans where they kind of allow you to be who you are. Like, nobody makes fun of you for that. I noticed out here, it's like, nigga, you a hood nigga. You ain't supposed to. Like, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, word? Y'all too hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with y'all nigga? I know a nigga in the Abercrombie and Fisher right now that'll kill all y'all.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? But, like...
That's one thing I've noticed about Houston. It's very... You know, it's fake. That's like when I tell people that I'm from Dallas, they always look at me like, what? Like, how does Dallas look? Or how does Dallas act? Everybody that's from there.
I was raised here in Houston, like DJ Motai was, you know, and it's always been kind of like, you know, if you say you're from Dallas, the first thing that I think of every time is like the Dallas dance music, stanky leg stuff, right?
And that's the thing, like, I had leather shorts.
Like a 504 gangsta, huh?
Like, I had leather shorts. I had red hair. I used to wear contacts, but like you said, that's not...
You had red hair?
I did. I had red hair.
You have a picture? Were they braids?
No, like, I had my hair. This is my first time having my hair in braids in a very, very long time, but they're about to go.
Do you have a picture of the red hair?
I can find one.
I would love to see
that. I used to wear hazel contacts.
You were like Ariel. From
I was ratchet. Very, very
hazel contact.
Wow.
It was my hair. The only thing I really never did venture into, like, the 27 pieces, like the weave and stuff, because I never...
What's a 27 piece?
It's like weave. That's like
a combo at KFC?
Sounds right. I just got hungry actually hearing.
Right? 27
pieces. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, like, it's just... seven sisters, so I know.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where people... You know, are in a day and age where they want you to be who they want you to be, and it don't work like that.
Yeah, is it like, well, it almost goes back to what we've been talking about this whole time, is people like to put people in boxes.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, one thing I've learned about being in Houston is real segregated.
Like, yeah, very
much. If you're this type of person, you're expected to hang with this type of people.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, it's just, that's just how it is out here.
They don't respect genuine friendships. They want you to be, they want you to be who they want you to be.
I actually, like...
This is not just in the hip hop industry. No,
this is just period.
General,
but like, even I catch flack. Like, to me personally, when I got into this rap shit, I don't feel like I have to be friends with everybody who's a rapper. I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah,
honestly, and it's not on no cocky niggas be looking at me like Les is cocky. You don't want to work with nobody.
It's your
none
coworker.
Of that shit.
Like,
I'm like, no, honestly, I feel like, dog, you rap, I rap, but why do we have to be cool? And it's not that I even have a problem with you, but it doesn't mean that we on the same shit either. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't mean we on the same type of shit. Like, niggas will hit me up to do a song, but I'd be like, why? Like, what you want to do a song for? Like,
because they want to work with Less. Maybe they're a fan.
But for what? Like, what's the reason? And I'm real serious about my shit, like my art, like how I look at it. And I'm like, okay. And then they send me the song, weed smoking song.
You want to do something like, more than just a weed smoking.
It ain't just that. It's like, fuck, when I rap, when I do my songs, 9 times out of 10, usually what was on my mind or what I just did that day.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the topic. Don't send me a song just about, like, either riding in a car on the slab or just smoking weed. Like, you can do whatever.
Well, you know, now that you go there, how do you feel about a lot of the song content nowadays and the fact that a lot of the stuff, you know, sounds alike and a lot of the content is the same? Like, most of the songs you hear are the same song.
Trap.
You know.
I don't know. I don't really listen to nobody. Like, I don't listen to too many people's shit.
Who do you listen to?
I listen, like I just named our Future. I listen to a lot of old music. I'm really into that Daft Punk CD right now.
Yo, that Daft Punk album is dope,
that Daft Punk album is crazy.
They brought back some disco on y'all.
Erykah Badu is probably my favorite of all time. Pharrell is probably right there with her. Devin the Dude. I don't know. Just Nirvana.
You like anybody locally? Are you fans of anybody, really?
I mean, everybody's stuff jam. Like, I can't say, like, I'm huge fans or anything. Like, just be... But I think everybody does their thing. It's just not always for me. You know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, I mean, I think the dudes is real talented. But, you know, just... You know who I do like locally? Like, that I can actually say I'm... There's two people that I'm just really actually big fans of.
Yeah.
I like D-Lo, number one. Cause like I just found my, I think it's just me getting to know D-Lo,
yeah,
as a person or whatever, like, and then listening to his music, it matched. You know what I mean? Like, that's him.
Yeah.
And then
I say that I told Brad, as of like the last couple of months is when I recently became a fan of his music. Cause at first, I'm not gonna lie, I really wasn't. But as of late, it's growing. I mean, even, you know, Brad and I listened to a song, and he was like, "Oh, okay." Like,
it's genuine. Like, yeah. That word.
Who do we? Or you listen to that record he had with Double B, I think, or something.
I like him too.
There's some song.
You like, oh, I love Double B.
Yeah, I like Double B too. Like, that's genuine. Like, yeah, I went to the show one time, fool, and like, I didn't know who he was at first, my nigga. And I was just like, what's this, like, going on out there? And he just like had it rocking. I was like, fool, I love this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was cool. And then like,
he was the man. He was, yeah, yeah.
He just got his own energy. You know what I mean? And then I like Fat Tony a whole lot.
Yo, Fat Tony's the,
like,
man.
People,
man,
like sleep on Fat Tony, but I really think, honestly, I think he's the illest out here. But that's me.
I mean, Tony. Like, I mean, Tony was the first rapper from Houston, you know, who wasn't like a nationally known guy that I discovered. He was the first guy I met, right? And I remember he's another one of those guys. He's just genuine, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when he's talking, when you're talking to him, and when he's on the record, it's the same guy.
Yeah,
like I guess like you said with D-Lo, and he just had an album come out, Smart Ass Black Boy.
Yeah,
I think
exactly. He got an XL and double XL for that, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, people,
hey!
Shout out to you though for your XXL nine. You know,
you got an XL.
That's two people from Houston, but you know, like. That's dope. You know what I mean?
What if they would have given you a small?
Really, honestly, the whole thing about it was I was happy that I was even acknowledged.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know that was happening or going on. Like, I seen in a way I even found out, it was like a link on Twitter and it just said, let's E36 review.
Yeah.
It didn't say XXL or anything. Somebody had tweeted and I clicked on it. I just wanted to see what they were saying about the tape. And I seen XXL. I was like, oh, shit. Then I seen XL. I was like, oh, fuck. Then I read it and they emailed me. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. That's an accomplishment, you know?
I mean, definitely. I mean, XXL, you know, it was like a
it doesn't get much bigger than that as far as reviews right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the source used to have the 5 mic thing, but, you know, it's just not like it used to be.
So. 5 mic is fizzled out.
Yeah.
So. It's not the same anymore. I think they missed the mark when they didn't give certain albums that deserve 5 mics. I'm trying to think of
one. There was a certain point I remember when they started going back and like re-reviewing albums, and that's when I was like, okay, y'all tripping.
Yeah.
But I think that's a lot of people's problems when it comes to music opinions. Like, we don't, like, it's very hard. Like, people want to deem Kanye's album a classic already. Give it time.
Man. There's no way that you can call anything a classic within a year.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
It ain't been out a week yet.
It has to live. Like, it has to be out for a minute. Like, I think, really, honestly, I feel like the last classic hip-hop album project that came out was probably So Far Gone. To me. Like, that's the last one that I remember made an impact.
Well, like, but that's because, you know, when you, like, that's still something that you can listen to from beginning to end.
What about
and that's even like Thank Me Later was cool, and a lot of people people weren't on So Far Gone then like they are now. So Far Gone still attracts new artists. So Far Gone still has the ability to make people who don't know Drake a fan of Drake.
And I still think it's his best full body of work.
Exactly.
It was just so different. You know what I mean? It was like the timing was perfect. Like,
yeah, we needed that.
Yeah. It was just,
but then you gotta think Drake kind of changed the whole mixtape game.
Exactly.
Before it was the Wayne formula of go jacking for beats.
Yeah.
And then Drake comes out and, you know, he even
full
said
album.
Got the mixtape, said it sounded like an album.
He did.
I mean, and that's legit though. That was a good way to get.
Does that hurt though?
Or not?
Does that hurt albums?
Nah, that made everybody step their game up.
Well, he couldn't sell it. Nobody knew who he was then.
Yeah.
So why not put out a body of work that he said that made him more money? Then it would have, if he would have tried to put it out as an album.
I mean, he could have just called it an independent album.
Why does it matter what it's called? It served its purpose.
Well, yeah, true and false. You know, when I interviewed Doe Beezy when he first dropped Blue Magic, right? And I was like, is this a mixtape or is this an album?
It's a project.
It's a project. You know, because, you know, I think a lot of people, I think mixtape sometimes. When I think mixtape, I'm like, okay, these are their records that didn't really maybe make the album.
Right,
cut.
Because you
these
think
some
of
freestyles.
Reused beats, recycled beats.
It diminishes. But then when someone like Drake drops a mixtape and it sounds like an album, I think that's why Thank Me Later maybe fell short of people's expectations.
But see, the thing about it is, though, So Far Gone was a mixtape because he did rap on other people's beats on that.
Yeah.
You understand? Like,
freestyle.
Even me, myself. I like everybody thinks everything that I put out was a mixtape. I don't consider E36 a mixtape. Honestly, I don't think The Struggle Continues is a mixtape. I don't think Beautiful Struggle was a mixtape. I think Menace was a mixtape. I think Exquisite was a mixtape.
Okay, let's do this.
Because I'm rapping over other people's beats.
What was the first project that you heard from Les? Or what was the first? How were you introduced to Les?
I was introduced to Les through Twitter. I believe someone sent me his tape. It might have been Brando sent me his tape saying.
Which tape?
You need to check out Les. I think it was.
That's going to be hard to remember.
Oh, my God. I remember the.
You don't know.
Name them. What was like one of the last ones you put out last year?
The Struggle Continues was the last one last year.
What was the one you put out before that?
I think either Play a Partner or More or Less.
Play a Partner. Play a Partner is the first thing I heard from Les, like from beginning to end.
Okay.
I heard a couple tracks outside of that.
See, my first introduction to you was when we interviewed you on the car show. The first project that I listened to fully was the Struggle Continues. And I already told you my favorite song on that is Steak and Shrimp.
Yeah.
That's my shit. Like, my shit. What are you reading?
That's one of my favorite songs. That's probably one of my favorite ones we did. It's always like the...
And I like the one with Gangsta Boo. But the real nigga freestyle on their rides, too. That's my shit, too. I was so mad when you... I'm not gonna lie. I was really mad when you put out E36 because I wasn't ready yet.
But see, that's the thing. Like, it's been six months.
So?
Everybody, like, you might not have been ready. Like, the people who listen to my music, like, those ones that really mess with it, I was late.
Really?
Yeah, like, and then I put out something before E36. I put out Exquisite.
That's true.
Yeah, like, yeah. That was kind of like an EP-ish thing. Like, I just kind of did that, like, over other people's beats.
It wasn't like a lengthy
project. It was quick. It was, like, something quick just for the, it was for my day ones, you know? Like, I like to keep them happy. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm going to get a bunch of fair weather people who come and go, but there's certain people that really mess with my stuff every time it comes out. And I just, you know, I do stuff for them. I appreciate them.
That was for them. Peach, did you hear the Stank and Shrimp remix?
I did, and I'm still a fan of the first one. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, it was for, really, it was just.
I like Slim Verse on the first one. I didn't want him to change it because he said something.
He didn't change it.
I don't know. I just like that.
No, Slim wasn't on the first one. I was on the first one by myself.
Who was on? Okay, well, it's another one that he was on. It's another song. I don't know. I'd be confused.
How'd you and Slim link up?
Just being in the hog pen with Rogers, like, and his brother Ray, the other CEO of Boss Hog, seen me working, liked the music. And, you know, we just all kind of clicked, you know.
Did Slim come to you one day? It was like, hey, I'm going to make you an outlaw of the Boss Hog.
Nah, I mean, it was just really like, and it wasn't really like just a directly, you're a Boss Hog outlaw thing. It was like, we just want to be, they wanted to back me, you know, and they wanted to help out.
They wanted to back you,
yeah,
pause.
It was just, yeah, pause. But, you know, it was just cool. And it just ended up, it went from being like just that to a family situation. Like, you know, like, that's my people. So,
for sure. Now, how much do you think that, you know, because we talked when Young Vaughn was on here. You remember when Young Vaughn was here?
Mm-hmm.
Not only did we actually have a conversation off air about E36, but we also, he brought up cosigns, right? Mm-hmm. And we asked him, you know, he was with Slim, you know, how big of a, what do you think of cosigns? And his response was something that he hates them, but he feels like they're necessary. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the game. Like, nobody really came into the game without a cosign. Like, it's very rare.
Yeah.
Like, even the people we just talked about, Odd Future, when they blew up, Kanye West tweeted about them. You know what I mean? Like, that put a lot of people on.
Tyler, creator.
And a lot of, everybody likes to run around saying, I don't have a cosign, or there's no cosign, or fuck a cosign. Nah, nigga, like, to get into this game, somebody has to introduce you. Like, you don't just walk into this rap shit, or to this music shit, period. Somebody's got a cosign. Yeah. Somebody's got to say you're dope. Like, it doesn't matter who you are.
Why can't someone just be dope on their own?
I mean, people want to know you're dope from people that they respect, you know, that is already dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And cosigns, like, they're cool, but sometimes you got to realize they're not everything. Like, some people beg for them. Some people, like me, Slim will do whatever I ask him to do. Pause. But
I'm glad you called the pause on that.
But at the same time, it's like, the world that I'm in musically, his cosign really doesn't weigh too heavily in that world. You understand? Like, the people that are fans of my music or where I'm going, like, Slim's cosign doesn't really do much for it. And really, you'd be surprised that most of those people don't even know that I'm on Boss Hog Outlaws or anything. Like, I get that all the time. They don't know. They don't listen to his stuff. They listen to my stuff. And some of them got introduced to me through working with Smoke Dizzle or just being cool with Currency and Crit and just, you know, those being my homeboys and just knowing them for a minute, like, just stuff like that. Like, I seen stuff change so quick. Me and Big Crit did a song in February 2010. And when we put that out, nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
And then Crit was here, came out, and he was like, man, we just need to just drop that bitch again. And we dropped that bitch again, and then everybody gave a fuck. You know what I'm saying? So it's just funny, like, you know how shit is. People are
Richard surfers is what I like to call them. Yeah. Another word for dick rider.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you could be like, I see people get frustrated, like, oh, this old dick riding ass game, but it is one. Like, it doesn't mean you have to go ride anybody's dick. Yeah. But like, the fans want to be introduced to you through somebody else. It just helps. It just is what it is.
Because it's the cosign. Yeah, like, this guy says it's good, then I'm a believer.
Nah, I can't even name one rapper right now who's hot or doing anything that didn't have somebody help.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a cosign artistry.
But is it like that for other genres of music? Is it like that for rock and roll? Is it like that for country music? Is it like that for, you know, EDM? Because, you know, people...
Actually, it seems like it may be. Like, if you kind of think about it, like, I've seen a lot of... Like, even when rock was going through their alternative mode and the emo thing, like, it seemed like they were all working together.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
because if you think about, like, if you think about blacks... When Nelly did that song with Tim McGraw,
mm-hmm.
that's when a lot of blacks got on to country
exactly.
music.
Yeah, yeah.
Or figured out who he was, and then we started, you know, you started looking further into the genre of music and finding other artists
Darius
that you
Rucker.
Like.
Darius Rucker went to that, like, he switched it up, like, he gets
rock and roll like a wagon wheel.
Yeah, so
you know what? Maybe the way of rock musicians doing it is putting people on their tour.
That's how they do it. They just go on tour together. But really, honestly, rap right now, you gotta look at it like Smokers Club tour. That like
Smokers Club.
Currency, Big Crit, Smoke Dizza, you know what I mean? Like, they all in, like, who else came through there? Joey Badass.
Was on one, I think.
Yeah, Joey. I mean, I'm talking about the new cats that were on there, like Joey Badass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these cats came from that. There's a lot of new people that they grew from that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just. Fat Trail, I think, was on one.
He was Chip on the last one.
Yeah, Chip the Ripper did one. Ripper. You know, it's just like... It's
right now, Mac Miller's touring with Chance the Rapper.
Exactly. Like, it's just... That's
Mac
really,
Miller
like, the introduction.
He's here tomorrow. Well, actually, Peaches, is fake Monday morning. Okay, he's here. He was here last Thursday. Or what's today? Wednesday?
I mean, look, perfect example. I mean, last tour that I think really helped somebody out was Drake when he took Kendrick and Rocky with him.
Yeah.
And then after that, they were out of there. So.
Yeah.
They really did. They blew up right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a quick break on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We're going to be back with Les. We're going to talk about The Struggle Continues. We're going to talk about E36 more in depth. I also want to get his views on J. Cole and the Yeezus thing because the numbers are in. Somebody won.
Don't forget Mac.
Well, okay, and Mac. But the numbers are in.
Because Mac won.
Somebody won, and we're going to let y'all know who it is after the break. We'll be right back. DJ Motai, play us some music.
Yeah. Dirty Diamonds. You know what I'm talking about? Man, child. Obese. Propane. D-Lo. Biatch. A-Stein. O.
Boink. I keep these diamonds all in my chain. My top bag when I ride.
And I keep that car full of that good with a pretty old bad bitch on my side.
And I keep that cup full of that mud. That armor all on my tie.
And I keep that 5% on my windows with some black Saatchi frames on my eye.
I keep that, I keep that, I keep that. Gotta let these niggas know why.
Keep a bitch, you keep a purse full of blunts, cause she be rolling up the personal ones. Pull out the guard, cut it up, dump the guts, then she hop in the truck. Pull out that purple, then she rolling it up. Pull to the front like, wait, give us curb service. Black windows, so we got them niggas nervous. Ask me, is it worth it, or maybe they concerned if them women do deserve to meet me, man, child in person. I tell them we can take them to the stars, go high as I go. Baby girl, I be spaced out. Every time a nigga pull up, rolling up that hydro. I'ma take your brains out, like, wait, free your mind. Top down with the seat back. Hop out with two freaks, yeah. Niggas know I keep
that crease on my flow, game title my gap, peel
light in that light, I'm leaving with two shots of that grand. I keep my crew close in that cut, she keep that HP in her dick. Stuck down in his hell, keep my eyes open for that check. These boys keeping me on my toes, city all in my back. Money all in my mind, don't make a nigga finally relapse. I keep my soul all in this rap, real all in my vibe. Big dreams all in my head, only thing keeping me alive.
I keep these diamonds all in my chain, my top bag when I ride.
And I keep that guard full of that good with a pretty yellow bad bitch on my side.
And I keep that cup full of that mud, that armor all on my ties.
And I keep that 5% on my windows with some black Saatchi frames on my eyes.
I keep that, I keep that, I keep that, gotta let that nigga know why.
Make you wanna relax, flow so dope, make a nigga wanna relapse. Used to be an outcast, feeling like Big Boy. Now I feel like Andre, cause I get three stacks everywhere that we at, and I got my seat back. Finna call D-Lo, cause I know that he know where the weed at. I hit the stew and tell Marcus roll up, then I pull up and tell my nigga Pro to bring the beat back. H-Town, we back like free crack. And I'ma hold my city down like a knee strap. If you want it, I got it, I ain't got it, I get it from a nigga that I know that keep that. It's H-O-U, what they gon' do is respect my city. If it don't make money, then it don't make sense. If you tryna fuck with me, I need to check like Diddy.
I keep that clock all on my mind. Real out of my flow, bitch, my heart down in this grind. Keeping these drillers out that I know coming down. Got slams parked in that line. Ever level seal surrounding my code. Young nigga popped up, gotta stock up. Glock tuck, cock bust, bitch, and the nigga trying to stop us. Got it locked up at the top, yo, bitch, jock us. Popped up, keep your G to the grave. My brother locked up, but I got us. Wopped up on that deck, you about to hit the streets, getting paid. Wag niggas can't see pain. They know that it's a rap when I speak that mind. Bitch, I got no one more beast in the game. Ain't trying to watch the throne, see I'm trying to be the king. Gotta keep these diamonds out of my chain.
When I ride.
And I keep that guard full of that good with a pretty yellow bad bitch on my side.
And I keep that cup full of that mud, that armor all on my ties.
And I keep that 5% on my windows with some black Saatchi frames on my eyes.
I keep that, I keep that, I keep that. Gotta let these niggas know why.
Back here on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Peaches is taking selfies in the studio.
Are you using
the phone as the mirror? I do that a lot.
I think everybody does that.
Everyone does that?
Everyone who has a front-facing camera.
Yeah. It would be kind of redundant if you try to use your camera as the mirror and you didn't have a front-facing camera. So you like take a picture of yourself and then look. Yeah. Take a picture and then look.
Or a video.
Or you could take a continuous video. But then you have to sit and look at the whole video and figure out what didn't look right and at what time because you might have been fixing it.
Or you could have just went and found a mirror.
Or a reflective surface of some sort.
Yeah.
Anything like that works. We're back here with Les. Ellie Dollar is one of his nicknames, as he's pointed out. But his name is Les, so people.
Chico.
Are Chico's another one?
You almost got him following when you did that shit on Twitter. I didn't know who he was. I didn't. I was like, I didn't follow no damn Chico.
You changed your name on Twitter or something?
Yeah, I do. I'm real. I don't take that shit serious, fool. Like, at all. Even though I get cussed out all the time about it. Like, dog,
you seem like you do not like anybody on Twitter. I feel like he said something the other night.
I hate Twitter. I hate Twitter.
But it's like, just a platform you have to use.
Yeah, it's just I have to. I deleted my Twitter, but I started all the way new, like, what, a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I deleted my Twitter. I was off of it. Like,
You were just tired of, you know, because I think people take stuff way too literally on Twitter.
I mean, this is how I feel. When people say that Twitter isn't real life, that's bullshit. Because you've consciously made the decision to type what you type. So don't say shit on Twitter that you wouldn't say to me to my face, because I'm going to come up to you and ask you to say it to my face.
Yeah, and I also think that people aren't even allowed to joke anymore.
Because people go too far. Don't make a joke on Twitter that you wouldn't make a joke to me about into my face. Like, people on here throwing shade, doing all this extra shit. I will whoop your ass in real life.
Hold on. What's up, Ty? That was the greatest sound ever.
Shit.
All
right,
you're saying people take stuff too seriously.
It's yeah.
Like when that kid pointed a gun at his little sister. You guys hear about that?
Yeah.
Well, on Twitter, it?
He
took a picture
of Cole
it.
J. Cole to retweet him while he was going to shoot his little sister. Yeah.
But people retweeted it and laughing at it. Like, that's my problem. What about that is funny?
He was probably dead serious.
It doesn't matter. What about that is funny? Nothing. Like, that's not okay.
No, that's definitely. I didn't hear
about
that.
But instead of, like, my thing is retweeting it doesn't. That only makes him feel like it's better because now it's like the tweet that went around the world.
It's just like when everybody's on Twitter, I didn't think it was funny when Sue Saints got robbed.
I didn't either.
I didn't think. Laughing at it? And there was people like, oh, whoop de whoop, all that. I was like, yo.
He a punk because he ran. You would have ran,
gun
too.
Out, and they didn't just pull a gun out. The dude shot. Like, you I'm telling running. Me that you that tough.
You wouldn't
that. You
that,
wouldn't
yeah.
have ran.
No, you're that dumb.
I'm like, yeah. Like, I would have been. Boy, that video would have been hilarious for me. I would have took off.
Yo, yeah,
I wouldn't even been in the video. I would have been gone.
When they made fun of Charlemagne the God when he ran away from the people.
But that's the same thing he said. You dumb as fuck if you think I'm not going to run. Like,
I'm running. Yeah,
like, they got a camera. And then they came with a camera on them. Didn't they? Like,
yeah.
They were looking they were for that.
That's the culture that I don't like that Twitter has come up. We, like, some like the other day somebody showed me an Instagram video where somebody was did the video of their boss having a heart attack and getting carried out the building. Why are you videoing this?
Why does that need to be video?
Like, or you know what I'm saying? Like, people tweet happy birthday to people before they actually tell them to their face. Or you're telling happy Mother's Day to your mom. Does she even have a Twitter?
Yeah, I remember you brought that
up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just dumb. Like, people really don't do face-to-face communication.
My mom is on Twitter. Like, my mom, my dad, like, everybody, they all follow me.
Oh, my mom asks me every day, Brad, can you set me up a Twitter? I say, you don't need it. You don't need to be on Twitter, man.
I would never, like, you'll never see me at them or anything, but they're on there. Like, but, yeah, they
do you follow them?
Yeah, I follow them. They laugh at me. They think what I say is funny. They don't give a shit. I mean, they know me. They know they kids. So, like, you know, they don't trip. But I really hate the whole Facebook. I hate Instagram. I actually liked Instagram, but that video shit just kind of killed
me. Yeah. You know, when they announced the video was coming, I was actually a little excited about it, right? I was like, okay, because having Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, it was too much for me.
Too much, yeah.
Okay, then I don't like any of the videos that are being on that are on Instagram.
They take too long to load.
They take too long to load.
But everybody kind of has, like, this
15 seconds
facade that I think they kind of famous or some shit. And they'll be like, yeah, I'm just riding in my car, about to go to Chick-fil-A. How's your day going? Like,
I'm like, yo,
why are you talking to me?
How your day is going?
Not even that. Like, it's like, be creative. Like, you're taking 15 second selfies.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Selfies, and then the best Vine, like,
and that was worse than the 7 second selfies.
The best Vine account that I saw, and I hate to bring him up again, was Tyler shit. That shit was like some of the funniest shit that I've seen in my life. Like,
his Instagram is tight, and they keep deleting it. Like, Tyler's Instagram gets taken down like once every couple of months.
Some people like actually use it correctly, and you know, some people just be fucking tripping on that shit.
One thing I don't like is that it doesn't replay like Vine.
Yeah,
it makes it funny when it keeps going.
But that's
going.
The thing about a Vine. A Vine is meant to be a continuous loop. So some of the stuff on Vine, you have to watch it more than once to kind of get it.
And stuff on video, it makes it funnier. Vine, I watch it like 80 times, and I'm like,
I mean, it's 7 seconds.
It's funny.
Yeah. Even if you watched it twice, you still have an extra second in the Instagram video. You know what I'm saying? Because it's 7 seconds total. It's just, it's like you said, they take themselves a little too serious. So that's like when people say, like, you're humbling yourself. From what? A pedestal that you put yourself on?
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
How are you humbling yourself? Why aren't you humble to begin with? Why do you feel the need to say that you're humbling yourself trying to do something? You're not that special.
Yeah, you're definitely not that special. Now, before the break, we brought up the Kanye Yeezus, and as Les pointed out, Mac Miller all dropped. And Kelly Rowland. People forgot Kelly Rowland came out with an album as well.
Didn't she drop the week before that?
No, she dropped the same day.
She ain't hip-hop, though.
She's
not. She's R&B. I think her number, I think she came, I think she sold, I think, they projected at least that she would sell at least 60,000 units, which in R&B might be a favorable number. Now, the numbers are in, though. This is what happened. I'm about to run it down for everybody, okay? Kanye West came in at number one. He has the number one album in the country right now.
In the what?
Country.
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 Of course
country.
He would.
With Yeezus coming in at number one with 327,000 units sold in its first week. Anyone want to comment on that number?
Kanye West.
Kanye
that's
West.
Weak.
Yeezus.
It leaked, yeah.
I mean, that's weak.
Oh, that's weak, yeah.
Now, he did. Didn't he do like
almost a million?
Like a million the first week down there with Dark Twisted Fantasy?
I don't know about Dark Twisted. I know with Graduation.
I know Graduation he did like a cool 900. I think like they did 700 on that last one.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's with no promo actually, so I take that back. Like they did like no promo.
They did nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a very unconventional way of promoting an album, but he came in number one. J. Cole, number two with this.
J. Cole did well.
300,000 units.
Very well.
J. Cole did very. I think people, you know.
27,000 units shy of Kanye West.
Well, this is the thing. That was J. Cole's sophomore album.
Yeah.
J. Cole, you know, like he said, if you. He. played the Shadows a lot.
For real.
He went up against Kanye.
That was, yeah.
That was like,
the same album, same day as Kanye.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, to come 27,000 units shy of
a on your sophomore album when people thought that you wouldn't even almost do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's... And then... It's a nice album. Like, it's I've listened to Born Sinner more than I've listened to Yeezus.
It really bothers me, all the hatred that I actually seen for that CD.
For Born Sinner?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Like, I don't understand it.
Like, I don't understand how people don't like that. It's a dope album from
like,
beginning to end.
He's boring. I'm like, wow, I hate to see
somebody made a good point.
Right?
It's like people want Kanye to still do that graduation rap, but he's not there anymore. He doesn't have those same things to talk about.
Are you talking about Yeezus?
No, yeah, she's talking about Yeezus.
Well, because people were comparing it. Like, if you want something on the same level of graduation when Kanye put it out, that's what Born Sinner is. You can't compare Born Sinner to Yeezus because they're on two different levels.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That's J. Cole's sophomore album.
That's why I got mad when I seen the whole, you know, like that dope ass shit that happened the other day with Nas and J. Cole.
But then like, all that was amazing.
That was actually one of the coolest moments that I've seen in hip hop in a minute.
I ain't gonna lie, I got a chill. Yeah. I got a chill listening to Nas rap because it's like it was so authentic.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then to have somebody that you look up to answer you that quickly on your own song.
And that honest,
being like, you didn't let me down.
Like, checked himself on the record. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he was just so honest.
Yeah, it was just like, man, you know, you don't see that happening. Like, Jay didn't answer Big Brother.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't really happen. Like, that's some real humble
shit. Jay
might have
done an album with Kanye.
But no, yeah, but that's but, like, you know, but in the same token, you have Kanye. It's like, it almost seems like Kanye's always striving to get Jay to look, but you sit next to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Versus J. Cole. Like, he did it subtly. You either gonna respond or you not. He didn't ask for a response.
No, he's like, this is what happened. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
I was ashamed that I let Nas down. You know what I'm saying? In his eyes, at least he thought he let Nas down.
That was live, man.
That let Nas down. When I heard that song, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest. And the way the song began.
But like I was saying before, though, what led up to that, like, I seen a conversation spark off from that where they started comparing J. Cole and Nas. And I was like, whoa.
Why?
Like,
just why?
You talking about,
that's what you were talking about on Twitter.
Yeah, how do you go from Nas, who's been in the game since 92,
yeah,
to 20, J. Cole, who's been in the game since, what, 2 years ago, fool?
Yeah, 2, 3.
Like, why would you even do that? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't get it.
Oh, my God, J. Cole is Nas.
That's what I hate.
I heard people calling Drake the new Jay-Z,
Yeah, too. They had a whole list. It was like Kendrick Lamar was the new Eminem. They said...
What?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you what I read. They say Kendrick is the new Eminem. They said Drake is Jay-Z. I think they said...
Cole is Nas.
They said Cole was Kanye. And they said Wale was Nas.
What?
Yeah, that's...
Wait, now, why?
I mean, I kind of see what they were saying. Like, I
can see the reasons for the
connections. I can see the connections. Like, I do look at Kendrick Lamar
as an Eminem-ish
type. The way he does those things with his voice is almost like Drake taught him, like, or told him to do the same shit.
Yeah,
like,
I really hate comparisons. I hate the way people compare...
Yeah,
other people to other people. Like, that's it's like our society. we don't allow people to be great in their own right. Like,
yeah, that's
look,
the
here's the thing: when a posse cut of a song comes out, it's not, man, that was a great song. It was
who had the best verse. Exactly.
We're just a very comparative society.
But it didn't used to be like that.
It used to be like, I remember, like, if Big Pimpin' dropped there, like, oh,
I
man,
did not
Big
give a
like,
fuck who had the best verse in that song. Never even thought about it. Yeah.
And then it comes up in recent conversations.
And now everybody's like, well, Bun had the best verse. But then, like, niggas would be like, yeah, but that verse Jay added. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was pretty...
I think Pimp had the best verse.
And then, honestly, yeah, like, if you look at delivery and impact, Pimp had the... Like, when it comes on... Like, not just in Texas. I've been a lot of other places. When that verse comes on, Pimp's part.
Yeah.
Really? That's like the only verse they play. Matter of fact, now that I think about it,
it's
don't
one
play.
Of the most quoted verses out of that song.
I mean, everyone, you know, smoking out, pulling up, keeping
about what you say all the time is about how you say it. And Pimp was the master of that, man.
He had everything in that song. But yeah, we're just a comparative society. And, you know, for Wale to be compared to Nas, I guess because it's more of a poetic
kind of thing. Yeah, like, you know,
I can see. Drake and Jay-Z, like, very lyrical. Very
at all.
I mean, like, I guess just for the commercial success.
Jay-Z.
I will say this.
Was very, very hard on females. there's no way that you can compare.
Well, Jay-Z, no, I wouldn't
Drake.
Compare them in that right, but a lot of the
they
stuff that Drake does in the way that he, like, I could see, like,
the way he moves,
the way he does his maneuvers, like the way that Drake can take control of a situation. Like Drake can drop an album and then, or, you know, drop a song and all of a sudden there's all of his attention.
Yeah.
So can Jay-Z.
I mean, I just mean he's the hottest right now.
Same thing. Jay-Z been hot for a while. People don't
Jay-Z's
want...
Drake
he's the hottest because now everybody just wants him to continue to be the hottest.
But Jay's still doing it. Like, that's the thing. Drake still has to do that for another, like, a minute.
Yeah.
You know, continuously.
I mean, you know,
like, 50 was like that for a minute. You know what I mean? But now when 50 does something, nobody gives a shit.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I love 50 Cent.
It was that beef
shit. He burned himself out.
And then he just burned so many bridges, I think. Like,
nobody cared anymore. Like, if you think of 50, you think his first... The Richard Die Trying.
Three albums.
Really, honestly, I think 50 Cent was his own worst enemy because 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying, hated the nigga that 50 Cent is now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everything that he said, everything that he attacked Ja Rule for,
is
he
what
became.
He is now.
Yeah.
Like, the pop guy.
Whether he admits it or not, like.
I think that's 50's downfall in his music today is he doesn't accept who he is now.
Yeah.
The thing with Kanye, he might be ever evolving because he understands who he is.
Exactly.
50 Cent still is talking about how I'm on the block.
Yeah, he tried. He did Candy Shop. He did the Justin Timberlake records. But then at the same time, he's trying to backdoor and say you still out here selling crack. He's like, my nigga, you just got $400 million out of vitamin water a few years ago.
Yeah,
no,
you're
not
doing that.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why Jay was that dude because... He left it alone after Reasonable Doubt in Volume 1. Like, the street shit, it was still there. Like, you know, his references, element. But it wasn't...
But he doesn't talk about it as
his
presence.
But, like, he's
but
like,
he
I'm
used street colloquialisms to talk about how he does his business now.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. Don't try to tell me you still on the corner when you're not. Like, you know you're not.
Really, and that's like... Really, that shit's played out to me. And I might catch flack for saying that, but that whole, like, selling crack and rapping shit, like, that shit's over with. Unless, like, you really got an honest story with it. Like, most of these cats ain't doing that. I ain't met too many bad motherfuckers yet that's out here, like, hustling. Like, I know a few. Don't get it twisted. But, like, that shit, like, if you still doing that, my nigga, like, you...
There are other options now.
Yeah, there's way more options. Like, you can actually be yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know? Like...
Definitely. And, you know, we were talking about how, you know, Kanye's always looking to get Jay-Z's attention, right? And do y'all think that Jay-Z lets Kanye West shine?
I think Jay-Z lets Kanye be Kanye. Because you knew who you were. I mean, shine how?
Shine brighter than him.
What do you, what?
I don't think he lets him. Because think about this.
I think he definitely
does. He drops
does.
Jesus, right? Boom. Kanye is like, I'm dropping an album June 18th, right? It's going to be the biggest album of the world. Whatever. Boom. Like,
does he have to let him shine?
3 days?
Is he supposed to?
No, I'm not saying.
For
saying,
what?
Is he, though? I'm saying, does, you know, he always kind of...
For what,
kinda,
though?
Really, honestly,
big a big brother always kind of... He didn't want to see his little brother
He didn't even
him.
Answer back to big brother.
That's
so maybe Jay-Z don't feel that way. We assume he feels that way.
That's not true, because that's like me. Like, shit, when I dropped a tape not too long ago, Slim dropped one right after.
Yeah.
Like, that's like me being like, well, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's not
I
like
guess,
that.
Yeah.
They on the same team, same camp. You know what I mean? And then...
So is Jay, even with J. Cole.
But then, look, I'm saying that, like, even comparing me, not saying me and Slim or Jay and Ye, nowhere near that. But I'm saying, like,
it's
Ye
not
has
personal.
A different audience, really. Like,
yeah.
Ye's audience is kind of different. There's a lot of niggas that listen to Kanye. Well, Jay, there's most people who listen to Kanye listen to Jay-Z, but there's niggas who listen to Jay-Z that
don't
listen
to
Kanye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I mean. Like, it's different. You know,
but you didn't feel like it may have been like a little foul of Jay.
I don't think it was
say.
Personal.
I'm pretty sure Kanye has beats on that CD, and he knew that was coming.
Okay, you don't think it was out of the blue?
Nah, he knew. No. He knew that they worked together. Like, he knew that was coming.
Do you
like,
have any expectations for the Jay-Z album? Either one, any of the three of you?
See, I have to keep saying this. I am not... the hugest Jay-Z fan like that. Like, I didn't grow up on Jay-Z music like the rest of the world apparently did. That's not how I was. Like,
I didn't grow up on Jay.
Well, I don't check for Jay that hard. Like, it's alright.
I ain't gonna lie, Jay-Z my favorite rapper. And he's been that since my mama gave me a Reasonable Doubt. Cause she bought it for the Ain't No Nigga See song.
Yeah.
And she didn't like the rest of the shit. So she just gave it to me. And
I wish I could have been in the clubs whenever, like, that record first came out. Cause apparently, like, women would just throw their ass.
Yeah, they
on
said
your
that
chest.
Was like they said that was dead shit when it came out. Like,
they would just throw that thing back.
But, like, I don't know. I don't expect I don't know, man. Jay-Z, what he got going on right now, he's just consistent. Like, I don't really look at it for being no game-changing shit. But as a business, like, as a business model, yeah, he's changing the game. But musically, you'll probably have some gems on there, and it's going to jam. But it's not going to be like, I probably think the biggest album this year is probably going to be the Drake joint.
You think so?
It always is right now, just like we were talking about.
You think it's going to be bigger than – I mean, Drake hasn't dropped an album –
man,
since Jay's dropped an album. You see what I'm saying? Last album Drake dropped was 2009.
Artistically, not rapping, but artistically, Drake is on another level. Like, that's songwriting true. And
he's one of the most honest people speaking. Like, Drake is the type of person that he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he understands that he wears his heart on his sleeve. That's the difference between him and Wale. Wale knows his heart is on his sleeve, but he don't like to deal with his heart on his sleeve.
Wale's album's good, by the way. You just keep going there.
Well, I like Wale. But that's the difference between Drake. Drake knows that his heart is on his sleeve, and he knows how to handle himself. He's one of the most honest people that you hear. He'll say how he feel and then deal with it later in another song.
Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree with that. I think Drake definitely thinks.
Wale reacts. Drake don't react as much as Wale reacts.
Wale is a very emotional.
Drake don't even be on Twitter. Like, you don't even pay attention to it. Oh yeah, Drake don't even be on Twitter. He don't he don't entertain a lot of that shit that Wale entertains.
Because Wale really is a reactor.
But Drake is on another level in his career where he probably doesn't have to be on Twitter.
Same thing as Jay.
Yeah, when you get to a certain level, like, you don't really have to do that shit. Like, even I remember Frank Ocean used to be on Twitter a whole lot. Now you don't even see.
Because you're trying to build that up. Now that you have that, now you got to go back and focus.
If Lord willing, if I ever get to that level where I don't have to do that shit, I'm not going to do it.
That's the same thing I said.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't.
Use it for what it's for and move on.
Like, if I could have a website for them to keep up with me on, cool.
Because then you become too accessible. Like, if I know I can get you to react to me on Twitter, I don't really need to do much else.
Yeah.
Because then it's satisfactory. But if you know you can't get to me on Twitter, you're going to find another way to get to somebody that you want to get to.
Yeah.
And you know the thing, like you said, Drake doesn't really tweet that much. Jay, actually, the other day, he tweeted five tweets in a row. And then he goes, that's my allotment for the year.
Yeah, like that was it.
See y'all 2014. Yeah,
and that's plenty.
New rules.
Hashtag. I wish I could be like, all right, this is it. I'm going to see y'all later. Like, but, you know, unfortunately.
You got to build it up.
You got to build up today. Like, I have to build up to Twitter.
Which I think about when they was pulling up those old tweets.
Oh, what?
The old tweets.
I think it's funny.
Like, that shit was funny.
They went up. They brought up they went down like Iggy, old
Rocky,
French, Meek.
Everybody. They went
basically like
tweets.
Meek was bashing Rick Ross, but was praising 50 Cent, and Iggy was talking about Nicki Minaj, and Frank Ocean was saying some shit and then pounding on homo behind everything.
No homo.
Rocky Fresh was talking about how everybody sucked.
Rick Ross. Rocky Fresh said, yeah, he was talking a lot of shit about Ross.
Action Bronson probably handled it the best out of everybody.
When did this happen?
Two days ago?
Like 2 or 3 days
ago. Go back to Queen. Shout out Queen Bobby. Go down Queen Bobby's Twitter. It's Bobby with an I. If you go, you might have to go down a bunch, but she retweeted a lot. That's how I was lurking on when I saw everything. But
I seen the rappers explaining themselves first. And no, what I seen the tweets, and it was fucking me up because I thought it was happening right now. Like,
then I started looking at the date.
What the fuck?
It was like 1,095 days ago, June 5th, 2003.
The first thing I seen was the Action Bronson, yeah, New York, y'all can't be fucking with this ASAP Rocky shit, man, or something
ASAP Rocky was dogging people.
He was like, RIP Pimps, and he was like, RIP Pimp C, you know, like, I was like, whoa, did he really just say that? But then I was like, no, he didn't just say that. And they were like, what the fuck?
He said that
what
a long time ago. But man. Then, okay,
I'm
so how
glad
you,
I deleted my first account, actually.
Right?
Like,
now
really,
I'm thinking about it.
How do you feel about that, though?
I'm thinking about deleting some of my old show archives.
See, but my thing is, I feel like this. If I felt that way, then I'm entitled to it.
I really, though, like that was then. That's never been my thing. Like, I have, a bunch of homeboys who be having me on weird-ass shit. Like, the whole feds watching you and volunteering information shit. And that's always been my reason of, okay, man, you need to, just keep your Twitter shit kind of straight. You know, watch what you do on it.
And that's my thing.
I never looked at it like, oh, the shit you say is going to come back to bite you in your ass. Like, because really, I don't think I've ever said anything wild about anybody like that.
You've never been any Twitter beefs? Have you ever been any Twitter beefs?
Just with random people.
Yeah.
Like, because, and then.
Twitter beef.
I can't stand it.
And I get it a lot. And really, I think a lot of people don't know my demeanor. Like, if you don't know me personally, when you see me on Twitter, everybody thinks I'm real serious all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sarcastic as fuck, and I never care. So it's like just the other day somebody said some shit and I was like, shit, send the address. That's how I said it. Like, to me, yeah, when I said it, it wasn't like, nah, nigga, send your motherfucking name. I'm like, nah, just send your address, fool. Like,
yeah, right,
come on with it. Like if you want to do that, then like it. Yeah, like
send your address
if you're that tough, like, you know. But
come I'll on, meet man. You at your spot. Alright,
but you know they not gonna do it, like, oh yeah, that's the thing about it. And then he told me to send my address. I'm like, yeah, so everybody can show up to my house.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. I want to say the last time I saw Les, we were actually at a show together. Do you remember what show this was?
No clue.
We were at the Riff Raff show.
Oh shit, that was fun.
At Fitzgerald's. It was a sold out show. Upstairs Fitzgerald's.
Niggas got mad at me for saying that was a dope show.
I walked over to Les. I was like, what do you think? He goes, I love it. He goes, I think he's one of the hottest. You said, yeah, I think he's one of the hottest out of the city.
He is.
Why isn't he?
And I was like, here's my thing. I know he protests that he is not. I still think, when I look at it, I still think he's like being it's a comedy thing. And I still don't know what it
Why
is.
Why can't that just be I'm him?
Sure, he's a comedy thing. I love it. If it's not a comedy thing, I don't understand it.
Let me tell you, fool. Like, I've been out here. Like I told you, this is my 11th year out here. I used to be at Sharpstown Mall Galleria every Saturday. And him and another cat called the Freestyle Bully would be there every weekend and on campus at U of H all the time and at TSU handing out CDs, working, and selling CDs. They've been grinding.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about the music, not you, just people in general, because I caught a lot of flack for saying that was the best show.
No, it was. I enjoyed the show. It was fun.
It wasn't just that. I was just meant the turnout, the fans, the way they were interacting, knowing the music. Like,
there were fights too.
He's the hottest new artist. Whether he's new or whatever, but I mean, he's the hottest new artist in Houston right now, other than Kirko.
Yeah,
and Kirko's, you know, he's major. He's already on, but like, it's genuine. That's him. Like, I seen him acting like this 10 years ago. And he hasn't changed one bit. Like, it's the same shit. He's actually gotten better. Like, his shit was worse. Like, his shit has gotten way better. Like, his shit sound like old Swisher House tapes. Like,
yeah.
That's really, I mean, that's the vibe. Like, how can you be mad at that? Like,
I guess it's just, I'm not mad at him, and I like Riff Raff for what he is. And his Vine also was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, his shit is funny. You're
his
right.
Vine is ridiculously funny. I think a lot of people, though, really just don't. Like I said, like I don't like. Is he comedy or not to you?
I don't look at him as comedy. I look at him
Why
being
himself.
Why do
you find it funny? What about it is comedy?
No, like even when maybe he's just a funny.
No,
person.
But no.
Like,
the thing is,
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
I'm explain myself. In music, I don't think he's funny, but in his videos, I guess it's just his personality. Because even in his interviews,
I mean, but Brad, you try to be funny.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's what I guess I'm just realizing this now. It might just be in his interviews. You know, he says funny stuff, and I guess I have a stereotype sometimes of rappers. I guess in my head,
I think you moonlight as a comedian. So
I do moonlight as a comedian,
but you're a radio personality.
I'm a lot.
Are
of
you funny?
I mean, but like that goes back. To
But
my,
are you funny?
What
radio
I was saying.
Personality is supposed to be funny.
But do you think that, like, but you low-key think you're a comedian?
I have a nice timing, Peaches.
I mean, I'm just saying, because you got to look at what you said about him, and all I did was present what you said about him and made it about
you and ask the same question. I think literally in this conversation, I had a realization of maybe he's just funny as a person.
Yeah.
There you go.
But now look, accept him. But remember when I said earlier, like, the labels and stuff, they're not really into the business of selling music right now.
Can
when
you
they
sell
say,
them
when,
as a person? What is your
when,
image?
When
what
they
is your
sat
brand?
Down with him or whoever's managing him or when they told him anything in the business, what you think they told him? People are buying into you.
Yeah.
They're not buying really into your music, but they're buying into you. So why wouldn't you amplify that?
Yeah, because a lot of people might know who Riff Raff is but can't name one song.
Exactly. I know that for a fact. Like, really, when I was there at that show, I didn't know none of this shit.
I did not know one song.
But now I actually went and checked, you know, for some stuff. Like, I was like, shit, they was in there vibing. He brought out Lil Mario. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that was so crazy.
And then shut that shit down. Like, it was live. Like,
he brought Lil Mario out.
It was a great energy in there, man. And really, like, I'm all about that. Like, you know, it wasn't fake. It wasn't like no shots to anybody who does whatever, but it wasn't a bunch of your homeboys in the crowd or people that you fuck with every day. That was like fans, my nigga.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was love in there. Like, everybody was enjoying it. And then another thing, just to bring up that show again, Tony killed that shit.
Oh, Fat Tony destroyed it.
Yeah, like, he killed that shit, and people were fucking with him.
That was my favorite performance of the night, more than Riff Raff. Fat Tony destroyed that thing. He said the dopest line. He flipped a J line. He said, I can't see me coming out her thighs, so I got to make her man cry.
Tony's wild, fool.
That was a classic line right there. Classic hip-hop. But, I think I can accept Riff Raff now. Peaches, you helped me realize what I was looking at.
Ask Peaches on Tuesdays on dayinthedream.com.
I just asked Peaches, and she just
I'm gonna ask Peaches someone. I don't know what to ask though.
You know what I asked Peaches earlier? I was like, I asked her how far she was away, and she wouldn't answer me in minutes.
Brad asks a lot of questions that thing is, it's when I'm one of those people. I don't like answering a lot of questions. If I say I'm on my way, I'm on my way.
I know that.
Okay, I'm on my way.
But then I say, how far are you away so I can prepare
for long? I'm on my way.
What do you think, Les?
I'm coming. I'm on my way.
I can be on my way, too, but I can be just leaving Katie.
It doesn't matter. I'm still on my way.
I understand both sides.
Les is the mediator right now, Peaches. We need to have a therapy
always,
session.
Brad knows. We go through this every week.
Y'all have like a real brother-sister.
Real life.
Yeah.
We have real life arguments about nothing.
All the time.
Like y'all
shut up.
Me shut up, Tyler. Sorry.
Tyler barely talks.
So what?
How can you talk around Brad?
How can you talk over Peaches when you get
loud? You cut me off like four times already.
Look at that. See? What'd you just do?
What are you doing?
Responding.
You're still talking.
So you dropped The Struggle Continues. Then you had the exquisite tape. And then now you're on the E36.
Yeah,
you described this on Twitter the other day. What did you said something about, you know, about rapping with about slabs and money and stuff, and if that go through?
Yeah, like, you know, it's people who like me for what I was doing, like as far as like, you know, Settle for Less Volume 2 and all the Texas type records or whatever. But honestly, like, I just wanted to do something that reflected a little bit more on me and the type of like a lot of the samples and stuff that I listened to. Like, I sent songs like that I listen to on a daily basis to people, and like, can you make a beat out this? And some people wasn't feeling it. Like, they're like, why do you have an old ass BMW? Like, what's so good about that shit? Or, you know, where's the swangers at? Where's all the such and such beats? Where's the samples, like the chopped and screwed samples? Where's all that? I didn't feel like doing that shit no more. Everybody's doing it now.
So how important do you think that it is to have your own sound? And, you know,
that's the most important thing.
Because, you know, a lot of times now, a lot of people try to imitate a sound.
Yeah, like, honestly, fool, like, with this music shit, I feel like every CD that somebody puts out from this region, I've done already. Like, from Beautiful Struggle, Struggle Continue, Settle for Less 1, 2, like, I've done it. I've done a tape over nothing but DJ Quick Beats. I've done a tape over nothing but West Coast Beats. I've done a tape that sounds nothing but Texas shit. I've done a tape over nothing but East Coast shit.
So you're
versatile. I can do whatever the fuck I feel like. You know what I'm saying, with this music shit. Then on E36, I'm singing. Most of the beats are.
What happened to my birthday song?
Jazzy. I gotta write another one. You ain't remind. Why you remind me?
I did. You started ignoring me when it got closer because you ain't really want to do it.
Nah, I'm gonna do this.
Dirt.
Shit. I got you. I got it.
She gonna get a birthday song?
Yeah, I'll be singing. I'm gonna sing. I got.
He promised you a birthday song and didn't deliver on it.
No.
I'm gonna put it on my next CD. Happy late birthday to Peaches.
Are you a singer? Can you sing? Do you have a nice little tone?
I mean, they like it.
Who, the bitches?
Like, no, I mean, the fans, they jamming it.
She said it. She said what I was thinking.
I don't have any bitches.
You ain't got no hoes?
Nah.
No. No rapper's supposed to have hoes?
Less's love life.
Huh?
Rapper's supposed to have hoes, yeah.
Nah, I ain't into that.
You're not into women?
It's too messy. Like, nah, honestly, no, like, for real. Nah, I mean, I'm into women. Asshole. Fuck. But no, man, like, this city, fool, is like just.
How do you feel about that? You know, how do you feel about you? You're in the quote unquote industry world. So how do you feel about with it? Hey, you are. How do you feel about what comes with that territory? Because, I mean,
I'm an outsider. Like, niggas,
you try to stay ducked out. People know who you are
they do. Like, look, like, straight up, I moved to the Woodlands, fool, and I'm thinking, like, yeah, I'm legit. Niggas ain't gonna fuck with me up here. Ain't nobody gonna know who I am. I went to Walmart across the street. Like, I took pictures for like 30 minutes. And I was just like,
how you feel about that?
It's cool. Like, I mean, that's love. Hell yeah. Like, shit.
I like that.
There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just like me. I'm a real private, like, weirdo ass nigga that likes to be by myself. Like, I have no problem sitting in the crib by myself with me and my dog.
Do you remember the first time you ever saw Brad and I?
Probably. You know how much weed? Do you know how much?
Do you remember that, Brad?
How much weed I smoked?
I was with y'all, right?
Yeah, yeah, you were there. Too. We had came that? To the hog pen, and you were sitting in a car in the driveway, and we were with Vaughn.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
And you had us kicked out.
You had us kicked out.
No, that was because, like, Slim was on his way over there, and they didn't want a bunch of people. I remember that shit. They didn't want a bunch of people at the house.
Well, he kicked us out the hog pen.
Yeah,
we got kicked out. It's cool though.
Nah, that's all that was. Like, I remember that. Now that y'all say that, I do remember that because yeah, Slim was on his way to finish recording some shit, and yeah.
And well, it's like, a babe. I think we were actually there when he got there.
And I was the one,
there.
And I was
yeah,
the we one like there. I was the one that would catch the flack if motherfuckers was like, was, no, not y'all, but you just, like, just if I come into the crib, if like Slim and Ray walk into the hog pen and there's a million people there.
No, we weren't. Like, we understood it. We talked about it in the crowd. I was like, they are.
Me and Vaughn were about to do a record, though. And then
they were. They were working on the song.
Yeah.
Brad had just rapped the verse and was about to go in the booth when we had to leave.
Why y'all just didn't come back?
Nah, we didn't feel welcome no more. We didn't want to come back.
I was like, Wes doesn't like me.
Anyway.
I said that, but I said it a lot more colorfully.
She was a little more colorful.
Yeah.
And I was mad.
I mean, a lot of people think I'm an asshole, but, you know.
You're a great guy, Les.
I love you now, though.
I am an asshole. Like, don't get twisted. Like, no, I'm sure you straight can up. Be. I'm, like, just an aggravating one.
But tell us what you got up coming up, and then let people know where they can find your music and all that.
No, we, okay. I don't know what I got coming up.
Still pushing E36.
Yeah, E36 obviously. Just came out. We got, like, a bunch of visuals about to come out and shit, and, we're working on my album. That's called Gran Turismo. That'll be out, whenever.
So you're a car guy?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just rapping about the shit I like from now on.
Okay. That's, I mean,
like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I fucked up. Like, everything y'all see me do is development. I really feel like E36 is my first CD. But, yeah, I've done a lot of shit that I didn't feel myself. So, it just is what it is.
It's a learning process.
Yeah, you just grow.
So, working on the album. And yep. Then where can people find your music?
Live Mixtapes has everything. iTunes has everything now, too. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah, give me some money.
Yeah, don't buy that E36.
Yeah, especially actually, now. And the crazy shit is doing kind of well. Like,
yeah,
the shit surprised the fuck out of me. But I got some cool-ass fans. Like, we were talking about earlier about people buying this shit. Like, they almost felt like they would cuss me out for giving away free shit. Like,
that's how I feel. Somebody asked it, and I said that I feel that you put out way entirely too much free music, and that I felt like you could not. It was worth paying for.
I'm waiting till that pushes. Like, I mean, I'm in the process of having a situation get put together right now.
I mean, and that's why we do sit downs like this, so we can ask you, know,
it's
why.
I'm building that core right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, because really, like, I mean, my shit is heavy, but it's not that heavy. Like, I mean, I'm doing very well. Like, but there's cats, you know, like, there's huge followings out there. I haven't got that many yet. And I'm a new artist. Like, regardless how many people in Houston heard me do a million mixtapes, like, E36 was a lot of people's first time hearing me.
So, we can make this the last thing. You know how a lot of people feel about the XXL covers and new artists, and it'll be people that have been out for a while that will be considered new artists.
Yeah.
How long do you feel that people can ride the new artist wave before it's time to let it go?
You're underground till you're not anymore. You're underground till you're above ground. I mean, it just is what it is. Like, shit, if you were an underground artist for 10 years, and then you finally get that XXL look, then, okay, now you're new to everybody else, no regardless of how long you've been in the game. Wiz had a whole hit single, a pretty good single, years ago, way before we heard, like, anybody cared who he was.
Talking about,
Say Yeah.
Yeah, Say Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, who's to say what can happen? Like, you never know, like, even look at artists like Kirko. He might have started with What My Name Is, but you never know what might happen. He could end up being huge. You know what I mean? Like he could do the right few moves and be out of there, like, on some whole different shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's just our first – that was his first time,
his intro to the
out.
World.
Yeah. So.
Definitely. Well, Les, we appreciate you coming by the show.
Dig.
Plug yourself. Where can they find you? Your Twitter?
Oh, settleforless.net, steakandshrimp.com, and at settleforless. On Twitter, don't say dumb shit to me, please. Because I have all the time in the world to respond, and I will. Cause
and
I'm
block you.
Yeah, and I'll block you.
Yeah, and so you can't respond to him.
Yeah. He'll just be mad as fuck. And Instagram. And, like I said on Instagram, if you say something disrespectful on my Instagram, I will find a picture of your mother and ask what the mouth is like.
Yeah, that's my guy. This is my guy. Settle for less.
Do you understand what you just did?
We appreciate you coming on, man. This is Brad Gilmore Show. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Dude.